In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Tobin and Leroy back with you here. Got a busy night here on the station on FM 104.3. You got Panthers and Red Wings. First of a couple of back-to-backs. Cats got the Devils tomorrow night. Ugh, sorry, Cats. Got to go to New Jersey. Oof. It's never fun. What? Don't look at me like that.
Nothing.
That.
I didn't say anything.
Kind of give me that. Like,
the only reason why you wanted the people looking at you that way because you have questions of what you said yourself. Nobody looked at you any kind of way.
I feel how I feel about New Jersey. What do you want me to do?
That's fine. Okay. Ain't nobody say nothing.
All right. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame members Rush just announced their 50-something tour. You want to see them? Grab a chance for you and a guest to win a flyaway to see the legendary band at Madison Square Garden in New York City. The prize includes tickets to the show, round-trip airfare, and a two-night hotel stay. Don't miss out. Enter now at WQAM.com. This is a national contest.
I'm upset at you now.
Why?
I played Rush earlier.
I just got this liner. I just got this liner.
Right when I played Spirit of Radio,
I apologize. Jeez. You can play another Rush song.
He don't know the bit.
We just got the liner. How long did I get this liner? I just got it like an hour ago. I just saw it. Just said ASAP, read this, but I just saw it. I was listening to Mike McDaniel ramble, and I was like, oh, here he goes, you know?
See, something got you in the bad mood, and now you're
Well, I can't.
You're smashing out.
It's 1 in 5.
I couldn't hear him.
1 in 5, yeah.
It's not 1 in 5.
A lot of the conversations we having are 1 in 5 conversations.
I told you this that 2 weeks ago when you were 1 in 4.
I'm a compartmentalizer. I'm a compartmentalizer. I can live happiness in my life, and I can be upset about other things and also be upset about 1 in 5.
Doesn't sound like it.
I can.
I find myself... with like
you're more ornery with people.
I find myself getting very annoyed.
I don't think so.
At football, because I just think that sometimes you get caught up in we need to do what we're doing better, and we need to do something to win.
Mm.
Right? I'll tell you. I remember experiencing this early in my career because. Bernie,
hey bro,
Kosar was a guy who could see what was going on the field and deviate from the plan a little bit by tweaking a route or two on the go, in the huddle, right? So I remember, and Bill wanted structure because he was a new coach, and he wanted everybody on the same page and then go from there. Both very good, like, listen, both ideologies I'm fine with. I just want to win.
Mm-hmm.
So when Bernie would draw up a play and Bill would see that wasn't the play he called, then we would all get the look because he wanted structure. But we was all happy that we were winning or having success. So how do you, like, mix the two? Because what ended up happening is Bernie got released and Vinny was our quarterback. And I couldn't blame any party for wanting to do things that way.
Mm.
There has to be some kind of
meet
in the middle.
I gotcha. This is, Mike McDaniel did address the Tua thing once again, but says, this is it. Not addressing it anymore.
Until tomorrow.
Until we get Tua's comments on it, and then you'll answer some more questions, Mike. Here was McDaniel a few minutes ago.
As players have come back for the week of practice, do you still see Tua's comments as an internal topic, or did he address it with teammates and everyone's kind of set it behind them now?
Yeah, that's the first, last, and only thing if I have anything to say about it, and I did in several meetings today, is the Cleveland Browns and our focus within that regard. Absolutely, he communicated with his teammates both in a in group and individually, and there's much bigger fish to fry in our team's opinion, in my opinion.
So that was earlier today, or
there was Monday, and I know he's talked to some of the guys that he didn't catch on Monday today, but I think the we have plenty to occupy our minds with our football play versus what will be a motivated Cleveland Browns team on the road.
Mike is left. All right, there you go, Mike McDaniel. It's the only thing I'm going to say about it.
5 seconds
just
later,
keeps going. Just,
I mean, like
in every meeting he had today,
you try to be respectful when guys ask questions.
Oh, he was very respectful.
I would get annoyed at the prying. Well, right?
Blame your quarterback.
No, I understand that. I understand that. But I'm just saying, like, you want me to respect you, right?
Mm-hmm.
That works both ways.
If one more question was asked, if he said, did he get everybody an edible arrangement, as in I'm sorry, that would have been too many.
Right, but you understand what I'm saying.
You.
It's like you want us to respect your questions, but you won't respect anything that I say.
Well, buckle
up. And sometimes I've seen guys get really upset about that, and I'm not mad at them.
No, buckle up for Tua Espresso. That one's going to be a doozy.
Yeah.
You know Tua took a shot at Mike when he was saying that on Sunday.
I think that
– I thought he was talking about him and other players being –
No,
leaders.
Because I'm going to tell you why. The key word to me was mm-hmm. when he said articulate.
Wow. Really?
Yes.
See, I thought that Mike was taking a shot at Tua yesterday.
When it was asked, he said
– This is 1 in 5 right here, boy.
Yeah. No, I know this is 1 in 5, but it's like when he said, yeah, we're not articulating. Well, I'm like, well, then who's not articulating? Like, who's not talking? And to me, the person who, you know – We talk about it, we joke about it, but sometimes after when you're losing, you might not want to be hearing Mike McDaniel and his 2 minute answers.
Or I understand.
His 2 minute diatribe.
I can't say that you're wrong.
So I thought he was taking a shot at him, like saying we're not getting the message, or the message is not being conveyed very well to the players.
See, I thought that McDaniel was taking a shot at Tua when he was asked about it yesterday. And he goes, "Oh, you guys can ask him, and he'll be candid."
And I could see as a shot more than the other way.
But yes, like, it is 1 in 5, Leroy. It's 100% 1 in 5. Yeah. But you know that's why don't give more chum in the water. Like that's why shut up.
I know. You know some guys can only be who they are, regardless of what the circumstances are. And then it becomes a lot of moments where you say time and place, but you're always that no matter what, right? So, you know, the difference between being 5-1 and 1-5 is those same answers come with a smile and everybody giggles, right? Mm. That's it. So, man, it's just a tough spot to be in for everybody. And the only thing they can do is play better, everybody, you know, and what, here's an indication of what you think of your team. And I want you guys to tell me the last time you saw this. I was like, at the coin toss. Y'all didn't realize what happened.
What happened?
They won the toss and took the ball.
Oh, asked for the ball. Yeah, okay.
Why is that?
Because they're scared of their defense?
Correct.
You know what you shouldn't do when you get the ball, though?
Huh?
You know, throw an interception.
you shouldn't throw an interception two plays later.
We're going to give Tua the pick.
No, that's on Waddle. That was on Waddle, 100%.
I mean, the ball only hit him in his hand.
Right? Well, Leroy and Tobin.
So, So yeah, I get it. And when you're not, here's the difference between a good football team and a bad football team. A good football team, you get to the sideline, shake it off, guys. We got plenty of game left. We just do what we do. A bad team and fans and people watching, oh, hell, here we go again already?
Yep.
Right? The same situation or circumstance.
Crazy, man.
Why do you have to, and I always wondered this, why do you have to be better when you're worse? Right? So what I'm saying is there's mistakes happening in every game. Right? But the bad teams cannot afford them. The good teams can overcome them.
Yeah.
So you're required to play less or more mistake-free football than the teams who are better. It's a crazy dynamic.
Break that down again.
He's saying.
So what I'm saying is this.
No, I just, the same.
Why?
Uh-huh.
Why, if you're a bad team,
mm-hmm.
right? You are required to play more mistake-free football than a good team.
Margin for error.
Being that.
Yeah, you have a good team has a larger margin for error.
But when you say a team is bad, right? What's the chance of them play mistake-free football?
They're not. That's the thing.
Right. You understand what you're asking for and what you're demanding.
But that's why
when
bad
team. When you say, oh, here we go again, here's how we've been going all year.
Okay, but here's the thing, Leroy. Good teams, like you said, they shake it off. Bad teams, everything's going to linger. So one mistake, they're playing with their butt clenches. They're playing to win. They're playing not to lose or not to make a mistake. So when they say make a mistake, it lingers. Trust me, I see that every week.
Right, but isn't it weird that?
No, dude, you need to put that on a fortune cookie. Like that was deep.
No,
it was.
It was. It was.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes. That's why it was good.
As Dade South says, you're a modern-day Yogi Berra.
But I'm just saying, like, we look at this Dolphins team and get
Twitcher.
Really upset at the mistakes that they're making with the missed tackles, with the missed sacks, with the turnovers, with the drop balls. And I'm like, yeah, that's why – they're not very good, but to expect them to, you know, put it this way. Everybody has those same mistakes. I mean, when you look at the way Kansas City started the season, you're like, oh boy, this is the year.
Mm-hmm.
This is the year. Kansas City is a good football team. Well coached. They got Patrick Mahomes, and they started getting guys back. Next thing you know, they putting it on folks.
It looked like themselves.
Right. Right. And so, like, I don't know. I just get real, like, when you see what happened to Waddle and Tua the first play of the game, when you see what happened to JP towards the end of the game when you really needed a play, right? These are the things that make them 1-5. Why are we expecting them to play in those moments like, oh, we need a big play here. Let's summons up Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs because that's what they do.
We'll take a break here on the show. Mixed bag coming up next.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.